Our top story this evening, former US Vice President Al Gore has told LBC London News he hopes Donald Trump listens to his closest advisers about North Korea. The American president has threatened to respond to any escalation from Pyongyang with fire and fury like the world has never seen. Mr. Gore says those comments are unhelpful.
I think that President Trump's rather intemperate statements of 2 days ago did not help matters. But again, he has a defense secretary and a national security advisor who are immensely respected. They have cooler heads, and I hope he listens to them.
You can hear more from the former US Vice President Al Gore. You can see that full interview with James O'Brien on our Twitter account at LBC London News and on our website lbc.co.uk. Now, North Korea has promised to devise a plan within days to target the US territory of Guam with missiles. The UK, meanwhile, calling for a de-escalation of tensions between Washington and Pyongyang. Well, let's get more for you on this with our US Washington correspondent Simon Marks, who joins me now. Evening, Simon.
Hello, Chris.
Well, these two leaders in Washington and Pyongyang seem to have thrown diplomacy out the window. Could they end up talking themselves into some sort of conflict?
Well, look, there is no more combustible tinderbox on the planet than the Korean Peninsula, and I think that's why everybody is as concerned as they are about the uptick in rhetoric, particularly with President Donald Trump speaking in tones and using phrases that you would more usually associate with men like Kim Jong-un, far less stable rulers of far less democratic nations. With respect to Al Gore there, who was saying that, you know, he hopes that the president will listen to his advisers. Well, certainly he's doing some listening today. He's having lunch here, not here, of course, at his golf resort in Bedminster, New Jersey, where he's on holiday with Vice President Mike Pence. Then in the afternoon, he's supposed to be meeting members of his national security team, including General H.R. McMaster, the national security advisor. One of those generally considered more mature foreign policy officials who was flat-footed by the kind of language that the president used there when he talked about fire and fury raining down on North Korea, the likes of which the world has never before seen. But, you know, there is also an indication that some of those officials in whom Al Gore was putting some confidence, some of them are at least doing the president's bidding publicly. The Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, put out a statement late yesterday warning North Korea that were there to be any kind of military conflict, they would inevitably lose. The DPRK, he said, should cease any consideration of actions that would lead to the end of its regime and the destruction of its people. So that's pretty intemperate language from General Jim Mattis, the Secretary of Defense. We told you yesterday that some senior Republicans up on Capitol Hill were expressing concern about the direction Donald Trump was taking on North Korea. We heard yesterday from Senator John McCain, a senior Republican within the U.S. Senate. But there are lots of Republicans lining up still behind Donald Trump, and they include Congressman Peter King.
President Eisenhower ended the fighting in Korea by specifically threatening to use nuclear weapons. So that would have been the U.S. making a preemptive use of nuclear weapons. So this isn't unusual or unprecedented for this type of talk, and it worked. It caused North Korea to back down.
So that's Congressman Peter King, a Republican from New York, saying that he hopes that this leads North Korea to abandon its quest for military nuclear capability. Democrats, of course, are piling in. Here's Congressman Al Green of Texas.
I'm gravely and deeply concerned about my country. I'm concerned about our military. I'm concerned because our president has made some comments that are at minimum reckless.
Regular listeners will remember that Congressman Green was the first Democrat on the floor of the House of Representatives to call for Donald Trump's impeachment a few weeks ago. Meanwhile, the Japanese have said that they are ready to assist in any defense of Guam that might be necessary. And of course, that might be necessary soon, because North Korea last night put out a statement accusing Donald Trump of talking a load of nonsense, saying that he was bereft of intelligence, and saying that they will have a military plan in place to launch 4 rockets at Guam by the middle of August. So the clock is still very much ticking.
And how is this all distracting from Donald Trump's other problems? I noticed on my Twitter account a year ago today, you tweeted me saying that Trump's troubles mount and that you're live on LBC London News at 5:20 with the latest. Of course, we were in the middle of the campaign a year ago, but Donald Trump, it seems as though history is certainly repeating itself a year on.
I could have that Twitter message just set to rerun every single day. 5:20 every afternoon, yeah. LBC London News, Donald Trump's problems mount. Look, there's no question that he's taken the Russia investigation to some extent off the front pages. North Korea is dominating cable news output here in the United States. It is the central focus of radio coverage, and it's also obviously very prominent online and in all the newspapers. There was news yesterday that the home of Donald Trump's former campaign director Paul Manafort had been raided by the FBI back in July. That was all taking place around the time that Anthony Scaramucci, remember him, the former communications director whose tenure at the White House was very brief, was making all the headlines then. It would be interesting to know, you know, as Donald Trump makes these threats to North Korea, what else is going on behind the scenes? Has he learnt more about the progress that Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller may be making in the investigation into ties between the Trump campaign team and Russia? That raid on Paul Manafort's home would only have occurred after a federal judge concluded that there was probable cause, a possibility of criminal charges being brought against Paul Manafort. So that would certainly suggest that grinding away Robert Mueller, who is not taking a holiday and who is not playing golf up in New Jersey, is making some progress in those investigations. And, you know, I think we're now at a point where any time you see Donald Trump engaging in the kind of behaviour that he's pursued over the last couple of days, you do have to ask yourself, wonder if anything's going on behind the scenes that we're only going to learn about in a couple of weeks' time. We will have to wait and see.
And how are things between Donald Trump and the rest of his party in Congress?
Well, that's the other big story of the day here. I mean, as you know, Donald Trump was very aggravated over the fact that the Republicans in the US Senate failed to replace and repeal Obamacare, a central thrust of his election campaign platform, a central thrust indeed of the Republicans' promises to the country. For 7 years, they said they were going to overturn Obamacare at the earliest opportunity. And then they fell at the final hurdle up in the US Senate, not just because of Democratic Party opposition, but because of the opposition of several Republicans who said they weren't willing to throw 20-odd million people out of health insurance and leave them to their own devices to figure out how they were going to get health care. Donald Trump is still furious about it, and he is venting his fury on the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, Senator Mitch McConnell, a man, by the way, whose wife, Elaine Chao, is a member of Donald Trump's cabinet. But we've already seen that Donald Trump doesn't have much loyalty to cabinet members. Witness the fury that he's unleashed on his own Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, over the last couple of weeks. Well, now it's Senator McConnell who's in the firing line. On Twitter a few hours ago, Donald Trump wrote, "Can you believe that Mitch McConnell, who has screamed repeal and replace for 7 years, couldn't get it done? Must repeal and replace Obamacare." This is all redolent of growing tensions between the White House and the Republicans up on Capitol Hill. Donald Trump, of course, fired his chief of staff, Reince Priebus, a former chairman of the Republican Party, a man who really was capable of serving as a bridge between the White House and the Republican leadership up in Congress. And I think we're moving to an era where it's possible that Donald Trump will start defining himself as an independent president, as one who's critical of the Democrats and critical where it's appropriate of the Republicans. I think we're definitely beginning to see the beginning of the process of delinkage between Donald Trump and those Republicans up on Capitol Hill, which of course raises huge questions about how on earth he's going to advance any of the core items on his legislative agenda.
Well, indeed, we watch and wait. Thank you very much, Simon Marks, our US correspondent, live from Washington, tweeting me a year ago to say that he was going to be talking to me about Trump's troubles that were mounting. I think the same could be said again today. You can follow Simon on Twitter at SimonMarksFSN.